Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahweh Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Yahweh's Radio, Yahweh's Ministry. I'll be your host, the name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, the Deep Dark Sands of the Bible. And we're going to do all we can to do our part in Thus Says Yahweh. Got it? Good. All right, we're going to bring our elder in. He'll tell y'all about the broadcast that's getting ready to come on. He's going to sit the trench, and then we'll take it from there. All right, so let's see if we find our elder and bring him in. And all about the broadcast, he will tell you. Then we'll piggyback off on what the elder got on the table. So Yahweh be with you all over 700,000 plus on the international side ready to go. So we're going to find our elder and bring him in and say, Elder Miss Tibbs, Yahweh be with you there, see Royal.
And Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, that Elder Mrs. Tibbs. Well, one thing about it, the foxtail owl been lit and the curtain hair went up and a ministry must come on the scene and take care of Thus Says Yahweh's business. And it's got to be shown plainly and it got to be no doubt this is the ministry. So, Elder, what have you got to address this international side of the internet, over 700,000 strong? What have you got to tell them? Got a lot of memos on the table, too. But one thing about it, we're going to do our part in Thus Says Yahweh. Elder, still take your time and put your A game on tape number 9. You're on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast of a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners. And I always say that is a very good thing because many people, we learn a lot. We learn a lot about the Bible, and we also learn a lot about ourselves. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching Christianity and people using loud bump the gums contests for their righteous learning, even turning the Bible scriptures around as verbal weapons against us that know. So we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's Ministry. We come to you live, always, with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible, and first and foremost about Yahweh's Word, learning how to connect the books, your health, and foods you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. We do all this because you have not. The information, this is what you came to seek, and you've now found it in the Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and those days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. Now, as I mentioned before, we do have a Sabbath class, and the top part of Sabbath is Friday. That class starts at 7:30 to 10:30, and the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m., and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine and right on that search line, type tribeyada.com. And after you click enter, just under Big Lion, you'll see some choices. One of these choices will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. Or any other device, you possibly might see menus. But again, after clicking this, you'll still see choices. still choose the tithes and offerings, and in doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7, and verse number 8. And when reading these things, you do have to take them seriously, because it is from the Bible. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, sometimes when coming into his courts, offerings are brought unto Yahuwah and to the people that are generously attending his courts. And all of these things that are done, it's for the purpose of Yahuwah and showing that we have the spirit of Yahuwah in us. But when you look at the book of James, chapter 3, verse number 16, 16 says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion, and every evil works. Well, we look at Romans, chapter 8, verse number 5. That says, for those who are according to their flesh, set their own minds on things that are of the flesh, but who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You know, there can't be jealousy or grieving or selfishness when you give. It's done because you do it in good heart. And what's given is not taken. It's received with the righteous understanding. This is why you have to ask yourself, does Yahuwah come down to collect that, or have you forget? Yahuwah, with his word, can create all. Now, this question remains. How is this done? We give according to Yahuwah's word that he has given through us through the protocol. So, in turn, we do nothing, huh? Well, in Malachi chapter 3, it reminds us, verse number 9, it says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. On this note, a man of wisdom asked me, Elder Tibbs, do you know what tithes and offering and alms mean? And I said, yes, I do that quite often. He says, well, let me give you a verse to go along with what you understand. He gave me the book of Sirach, chapter 12, verse 3. Where he says, there can be no good that come to him or her that is always occupied in evil, nor to him or her that giveth no alms. Well, that was good advice for me, because I took that as a great understanding. Because we have to keep in mind, it tells us in Malachi, chapter 3, verse 9, or verse number 8, I should say. 8 says, will a man rob Yahuwah? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have you robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Well, you have to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry. It is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. And this is done to keep this ministry bringing you thus to us, Yahuwah, alive. Also for building a school, which is very well needed, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program, Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check our calendar. It will help keep you, your family, and friends, including myself, in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We even have a live program. This is a feature that's available during live broadcast time. To get there, just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after clicking on it, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of God Thou. And click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We even have two email addresses the listening members can use. The first is tribeyada@gmail.com. The other is yadaisrael@gmail.com. These are for writing your written opinions, and questions of a biblical subject answered or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with the Aqua Online. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number, where you can call and leave a message on those scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But in saying that, as a reminder, do not call this number trying to teach. You will only hear a discouraging dial tone. Remember, it tells us in the book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse 6, about being at peace. It says, be at peace with many, but nevertheless, have one counselor over 1,000. Also, by calling this number, you can inquire about our 12 programs via the 12 tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you might imagine, he's usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos that most of us have seen. Even now, the Latter-day Saints. So please use that international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Also, for those of you who have maybe missed the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire show at 9:15, except Fridays. Our program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. At that point, just choose the program that you were late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. And during our normal broadcasts, we're also simultaneously transmitting on Paltalk, being listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. Once again, you'll find this is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer those on-the-table topics we discussed during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with the Seer Israel riding a shotgun. And no comments will be taken off-topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And you'll find if Brock Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. But as an additional reminder, when we're giving scriptures to speak by the Seer, remember to be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. And so we can start to listen to those words. We will pass our program over to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. You're right on that. You know, teaching that we on unlocking the biblical mysteries, deep dark sands of the Bible, part 9, it's just like a rat is in the open field and the big cat already, I'm stung him already. It's just like a rat now trying to run and he got no hole to run in. That what this series reminds me of when I look at these memos that I'm looking at right now. So we don't rehearse nothing. But one thing we do know, that Yahuwah will set you up and deliver you up. So what we're going to do, we're just going to see who's going to be on, who's coming on stage beside our elder, and see who's going to be participating in tape number 9 on Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, Deep Dark Sands of the Bible, part number 9. We'll see who's going to step up and be accounted in tape number 9. All right, let's see what's going on here. All right, we see the young lion, Bo Micaiah. We see Bo Micaiah, first one in, last one leave. He got that kind of spirit on him. Let's see if he's ready to come on and deal with tape number 9. Bo Micaiah, Tribe of Yahdah, Judah. That's why I beat you there, C. Royals.
Yahweh, I bless you there. Share Israel of C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, boy, there, young lion. That's the kind of spirit those spirit want to hear. And like I said again, by looking at these memos, you know, look what it says. Well, see, you never answer in advance. Well, no, I don't never answer in advance. But we qualified to take a look on the run and make something happen. And we'll make something happen on the run. All right. So let's see who else. That's gonna be on stage. All right, Mother E. She said, I look forward to getting that microphone. I'm ready. I mean, I was born for these days as a mother out of Camp One. Mother E, Travel Yada Judah. That's why I beat you there, see right.
Yahweh bless you still, Israel. I'll see you all. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, that Mother E. See, that's the spirit we're talking about. That's the kind of spirit, that order spirit. We understand we got a big job to do. It ain't about ourselves. It's about moving forward for the youngins that's coming behind us. The youngins. That's right. All right, there, Mother E. And we know Mother Z saying, listen, Sierra, you ain't said nothing, so I ain't wrote nothing down. But one thing about it, I'm all ears. So we catch Mother Z somewhere in the broadcast a little bit later. Well, she'll give a commentary and address this over 700,000 strong on the international side. And it's a lot of information. And I'm looking at some stuff right now that I'm about to make a little adjustment, but I'm going to make a little adjustment after I hear a young lion tell me and tell his national audience, what do Luke chapter 12, verse 12 say? Young lion, come on.
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
You know, young lion, I believe that. The righteous spirit would, because they'll just throw all type of, when you turn it all on the screen, look at all the messages. Here, we got something on the machine, which you turn your machine on and listen. Which you do this, which you take a look at that, and this memo. Well, what we're going to do, we're just going to see what you're talking about, and we'll just play it like that. Because this is going to be a very long series, too, because we're going to unlock some things that need to be said, and we're going to reveal the hidden hand. So I got to get a pen in my hand. When I be talking, I always got to have a pen in my hand, because you never know. You say something, it don't be you talking. It be who talking through you. So keep a pen by you, see? What's wrong with you? Don't try to memorize nothing. All right. I think we heard Luke chapter 12, verse 12. I don't recall it. I got caught my zeal for a minute. How about it one more time there, young lion? Luke chapter 12, verse 12. One more time there. Come on.
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
Reproduce, distribute, or exhibit portions of copyrighted motion pictures, videotapes, or video discs under certain circumstances without authorization of the copyright holder. This infringement of copyright is called fair use and is allowed for purposes of criticism, news reporting, teaching, and parody. Alright, warning. Federal law allows citizens to reproduce, distribute, or exhibit portions of copyrighted motion pictures, videotapes, or video discs under certain circumstances without authorization of the copyright holder. This infringement of copyright is called fair use and is allowed for purposes of criticism, news reporting, teaching, and parody. Allowed for purposes of criticism, news reporting, teaching, and parody, without authorization of the copyright holder. This infringement of copyright is called fair use and is allowed for purposes of criticism, news reporting, teaching, and parody.
American Jewish Historical Society. He wrote about those who owned it, and I want to pick up her quote, the Cambridge Shakespeare Society. He wrote about in the American called New World Jewish History of the Early Major Jewish History of the Early Americas called New World Jewry. It's by S.D. Lehman and the American Jewish Historical Society. He wrote about those who owned and manned the ships, or quote, the king with ships carrying African flag, he sold as slaves. Trapping in slaves was a royal monopoly, and the Jews were often appointed as agents for the crown in their sale. Jewish empire. The ships not only owned by Jews, but were manned by Jewish crews and sailed under the command of Jewish captains. The ships not only owned by Jews, but were manned by Jewish crews and sailed under the command of Jewish captains. I hit on the Jewish slave trade on Black Perspectives in the news on PBS in the late 60s. I became acquainted with a slave trade researcher by the name of Walter White. He wrote a short book called Who Brought the Slave to America? I contacted him and began doing my own research into the slave trade. I read all of the official Jewish history pertaining to it. I followed the issue for over 25 years now, getting official Jewish general history on the subject. Now, often those histories were published by Jewish historical societies and groups. These were histories written by Jews for Jews. And here's some direct quotes from a leading Jewish historian writing about the African slave trade. Prominent Jewish historian Mark Raphael in his book Jews and Judaism in the United States, a documentary history, wrote, quote, Jewish merchants played a major role in the slave trade. In fact, in all of the American colonies, whether French, Martinique, British, or Dutch, Jewish merchants frequently died. Slave trade. In fact, in all of the American colonies, whether French, Martinique, British, or Dutch, Jewish merchants frequently died. Jewish merchants played a major role in the slave trade. In fact, in all of the American colonies, whether French, Martinique, British, or Dutch, Jewish merchants frequently died. This was no less true on the North American mainland, where during the 18th century, Jews participated in the triangular trade that brought slaves from Africa to the West Indies, and they were exchanged them for molasses. In turn, was taken into England and converted into crop for sale in Africa. Isaac da Costa of Charleston in 1760. So thoroughly Jewish, the slave auction throughout the Americas had to close on Jewish holidays. The slave auction throughout the Americas had to close on Jewish holidays. There's no receipt for all four African slaves in North America. Steve Whitner, another official of the Jewish Historical Society, in his book, Jews in Colonial Brazil, pages 72 and 73, wrote, quote, the buyers who appeared in the auctions were almost always Jews. And because of their lack of standards, they could buy slaves at full prices. If it happened that the date of such an auction fell on a Jewish holiday, the auction had to be postponed. So in the Jewish history of the New World, I began to learn about the Duffler Report of Jewish history that you and I are not permitted to know about. I discovered that many centuries before the transatlantic slave trade, that Jews had dominated slave trade in the entire Western world for the last 2,000 years. Even as far back as Roman times. Look at one on Jewish Wikipedia, volume 10, page 48, writes, quote, the trade slavery constituted the main source of livelihood for the Roman Jews. In the 5th century, Pope Joseph permitted Jews to introduce slaves from Gaul and Italy on the condition that they were in a history of part 2, published by the Jewish Publication Society of America. The author writes, quote, the Jews were among the most important slave dealers in European society. One of the folk historians, Jacob Marcus, in the Encyclopedia Britannica, he matter-of-factly talks about the Jewish control of commerce in the Middle Ages. Quote, the Dark Ages, the commerce of Western Europe was largely in his hands, in particular, the slave trade. Now, the Jewish history of the Middle World, they get to learn of it. It's nothing before. It's Jewish history that you and I are not permitted to know about. And it started many centuries before the transatlantic slave trade. The Jews adopted the slave trade in the entire Western world for the last 2,000 years. Even as far back as Rosenheim. Spoken about on Jewish slave peace, he had volume 10, page 48, writes, quote, "The trade slavery constituted the main source of livelihood for the Roman Jews. In the 5th century, Pope Joannes, the Roman Jews introduced slaves from Gaul and Italy on the conditions that they were a history of the end of World War II, published by the Jewish Publication Society of America. The author writes, quote, "The Jews were among the fourth slave dealers in European society." It was a quote from the famous Jewish historian David Marcus in the Encyclopedia Britannica. He matter-of-factly talks about the Jewish control of commerce in the Middle Ages. Quote, "The Dark Ages, the commerce of Western Europe was largely in this path, in particular, the slave trade. Not only were Jews the principal slave traders, they had markedly higher per capita holdings of slaves than non-Jews. Jacob Parsons wrote in the United States Jewry, 1776-1985, page 586, quote, "All of the 18th century to the early 19th, Jews in the North were own black servants. In 1820, over 75% of the Jewish families in Charleston, Richmond, and Savannah owned slaves. In 20, over 75% of the century to the early 19th, Jews in the North were own black servants. All of the 18th century to the early per capita holdings of slaves than non-Jews. Jacob Parsons wrote in the United States Jewry, 1776-1985, page 586, quote, "All of the 18th century to the early 19th, Jews in the North were owned black servants. In 1820, over 75% of the Jewish families in Charleston, Richmond, and Savannah owned slaves. In 20, over 75% of the century to the early 19th, Jews in the North were owned black servants. Off of the 18th century to the early Jews in the North were owned black servants. In 1820, over 75% of the Jewish families in Charleston, Richmond, and Savannah owned slaves. Almost 40% of all Jewish householders in the United States owned one slave or more. About the Americas as to close on Jewish holidays. There's no receipt far more happening slaves in North America. Stay with us. Another official of the Jewish Historical Society in his book, Jews in Quantico, Brazil, pages 72 and 73, wrote, quote, "The buyers who refused the offerings were almost always Jews. And because of their lack of competitors, they could buy slaves at low prices. If it happened that the date of such an auction fell on a Jewish holiday, the auction had to be postponed. So in the Jewish history of the New World, they get to learn of a careful report of Jewish history that you and I are not permitted to know about. And it started as many centuries before the transatlantic slave trade, that Jews adopted slave trade in the entire Western world for the last 2,000 years, even as far back as Rosenheim. Look at Rockwell, Jewish Slave Peace, here, volume 10, page 48, writes, quote, "The trade and slavery constituted the main source of livelihood for the Roman Jews. In the 5th century, Pope Joannes, the Roman Jews introduced slaves from Gaul and Italy on the conditions that they were at the end of World War II, published by the Jewish Publication Society of America. The author writes, quote, "The Jews were among the fourth slave dealers in European society." It was a quote from the famous Jewish historian Jacob Marcus in the Encyclopedia Britannica. He matter-of-factly talks about the Jewish control of commerce in the Middle Ages. Quote, "The Dark Ages, the commerce of Western Europe was largely in this hand, in particular, the slave trade. Not only were Jews the principal slave traders, they had markedly higher per capita holdings of slaves than non-Jews. Jacob Parsons wrote in the United States Jewry, 1776-1985, page 586, quote, "All of the 18th century to the early 19th, Jews in the North were owned black servants. In 1820, over 75% of the Jewish families in Charleston, Richmond, and Savannah the 18th century, the early men in the war were to own black servants. In 1820, over 75% of the Jewish families in Charleston, Richmond, and Savannah owned a slave. Almost 40% of all Jewish householders in the United States owned one slave or more.
Okay. Now, I want to read a handout that we have. Not better call it a handout, you know. Sometimes I don't worry my words right. But let's call it Historical Documents Facts. And you can go on, you know, all your computer whiz can go on your computer. You can pull this up. It's an article that's called A Letter Sent by the Elders. Elders says it is a letter that was sent by the rabbis, the elders of the Ashkenazi community to the land of Israel, to the children of Israel. So here's a letter. So if you go on your computer and you pull up a letter sent by the elders and the rabbis of Ashkenazi communities in the land of Israel. Now the Ashkenazi Jews, they sent the letter to the Israelites is in the land about learning about the Torah. The Ashkenazi Jews. Now you can go on your computer and pull up the letter sent by the elders and rabbis of Ashkenazi community. Ashkenazi. Okay, good. Now, in this letter, we just gonna paraphrase a few things in this letter. In this letter, they was want the 10 tribes that they said is scattered out through Africa, the 10 tribes. So they knew, and this is in their book called this letter, but it's also written in the Talmud. See, one thing about it, like I keep telling brothers, sisters that want to learn the truth, you got to know how to go into the books and get what you need out of it. Now, in the Talmud, that's their Bible. Their Bible is the Talmud. Talmud. That is their Bible. So they believe everything in that Talmud. But we have examined the Talmud real carefully, and we'll go in there to get what we need out of it. And what we got out of the book, you know, a long, long time ago, we got some out of the Talmud, which you can go in and pull it up. It's called Out of the Talmud, chapter 24. It's called Nimrod and the Tower of Babel. It talks about Noah and his three sons. And in the Talmud, they made it plain to their people, remember, you was never to read, it was to their Jewish people, which would break down later, but we want to go in, and if you're able to pull it up, Nimrod out of the Talmud and the Tower of Babel, chapter 24. That's what you want. Now, in chapter 24, I'm just going to paraphrase some things that's in 24. It talks about in his book when Noah brought his grandsons and sons all to the land and how he had a special blessing on Shem. But one thing he says about Shem, and he talks about Ham, is very important in chapter verse 24. Very important what he says in the Talmud, chapter 24, about his son Shem. He says, Shem Shem is, Shem and his sons, they are dark-skinned people. This was written out in the Talmud. So Shem is a dark-skinned people in the Talmud. Shem. But you know who came out of Shem, right? From the previous lesson. But he also said Ham is darker than a raven. So he letting us know that Shem, according to the Talmud, in chapter 24, that you can go on your computer and pull up Nimrod and the Tower of Babel. Out of the Talmud, chapter 24, and there's a website that you can basically pull up information, and you want to expand on information, that's up to you. You can expand on it, because one thing, everything hidden, is going to be revealed. But see, remember, the Jewish community, they had their own books. They used the Bible, true enough, but they got their own books called the Talmud. And matter of fact, they got six books that you can go, one of their books that they read, that they'll put the information in for their people to not be dumbfounded, although they play dumbfounded, because you don't know what you need to know, but that's what the series is all about, is bringing out this information. Now, you go on the website, and you look up safari.org, safaria.org. Now, you can go there, and you can find the six names that I might not mention in this broadcast, but they got six major books that's their God, six major books. Now, in all of these six major books, it tells them exactly the truth about who you are and who they are. It tells you exactly who you are, and it tells them exactly who they are in them books. So that's where your research got to come in at, as though we have done this years ago. It's old news to us. Now, but it's very important to understand one thing. It's been a plot against you ever since you broke the covenant of Yahuwah. The doors was open for these things to happen to you. Now, in this book, on the 24th chapter, it tells us, if you read it and able to pull it up, that Shem is a black man. Ham is a black man. It tells you with no problem. Number two, first and second song, they black, dark. In the Talmud, they know that. They're descendants of Shem, the Shemites, the Shemitic people are dark-skinned people. And you see the one that roasting the dark-skinned Shemitic people is those of descendants of Esau from the Dukes, which is a pale red people that is roasting them today. And they roasting you because they know you don't know what you need to know. So when you say, are you anti-Semitic? The Semitic people in the Talmud on the chapter 24 are black people. Now, who call you anti-Semitic? Is it black people telling you that? Or is it pale red people calling you that? See? So if you don't know who you are and don't know how to prove it, you will always have to apologize, and you're going to dig a deeper hole with your mighty one, because you're supposed to know this information. So what ministry are you sitting in and you don't know this information? Now it's also a letter that you go on your computer. You can pull it up. It's a letter sent by the elders and the rabbis of the the Ashkenazi community. Now, the Ashkenazi community is the same thing you hear on your news today called a Jewish community. So the Jewish community is the Ashkenazi community. See? But you don't know that. They wrote a letter. They got a letter that they wrote to the Israelites that was scattered. We're going to read over there in the book of Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 10. We're going to read that maybe in this lesson or the lesson to come. See, we're laying the foundation. In the book of Zephaniah, it talks about a people called the children of Israel that is scattered in Zephaniah. The letter sent by the elders to the, by the elders and rabbis of Ashkenazi community, the Jewish community. They sent the letter knowing who you were and want you to send them some teachers to teach us about the Torah. But now they done turned around and now they teaching you about the Torah. You see that? But here's the letter. See, you got to have the information before you step out there. If you don't know how the information, one thing about it, everything that is sealed will be revealed by voices of a true Israelite, the sixth anointed camp. The door is open to reveal this information. Now, once you go on your computer and pull up this letter, you're going to read in this lesson, in the letter, that the rabbis of Ashkenazi Jewish community descent wanted the children of Israel to send them teachers to teach them about the Torah. Is that serious? This information that once you got it and you're able to deal with this, you're going to get all kinds of distractions. And that's why we don't have time for no distractions in the Six Anointed Camp because it's too much information we have to be prepared for to do what we got to do. Now, in this letter, it's going to tell you all about some good stuff, how they're going to call you, Hashem, which means YHWH, and in this same letter, it's going to tell them, you, that they said they were so honored to come, send for you, or come and worship you at your feet. That is in the letter. That letter is still available for you. They was want to come to Ashkenazi Jewish community, want to come to the 10 northern tribes that scattered all through Africa after Sennacherib had taken there. They got this record, and they got it written in their book, chapter 24. Just you, and this is what they say is in the letter that you can pull up for yourself. I just want to paraphrase something they say in the letter. They say in the letter, they said, the children of Israel, the sons of Isaac, the sons of Abraham, to my pure brothers, to my holy pure brothers, the righteousness upon whom the world rested. You get what he said? In this letter, they honor you. But remember, when they honor you, it's to lure you to sleep. And that's why the Bible is so important in the book of Sirach, saying, when you put them near you and make a league with them, they take your place. See? And that's what happened today. They'll lure you in with good speech. Then all of a sudden you'll let your guard down, and then they'll take over because they know their history and you don't know yours. So, and that's why in the last taping we heard where the young men that the basketball player and the rapper, they say they sold themselves to the devil. But see, what we're trying to avoid you this headache today is when you come to acknowledge yourself, you won't make the mistake going forward. But now since you have made that mistake, we're going to show you how to get out of it according to the scripture. Because it's letter saying that they honored you, the Ashkenazi community, with this letter. And we look at the letter, but we just compare phrases in the letter. Yeah, also in this letter, they say they, the 10 tribes who settled in the land beyond the river. He said, now these are tribes is over there. Matter of fact, the whole 10 tribes, I ain't called their names, but the whole 10 tribes, they knew, and that's why they knew where to go find you at beyond Cush, the river Ethiopia, because they read out their Talmud where you was at. The book of the Talmud, they read it. Exactly where you were at, that they forefathers wrote about all the tribes, basic color, dark-skinned people, the children of Israel. They came, and then they knew they got to come get some of you out and do what they've been doing according to prophecy of the 27th chapter of Genesis. So, we don't say it enough for tape number 9. Now we got to tie in a few scriptures now. We got enough information to go pull up the letters, pull up the Talmud book 24, chapter 24, and read. They know that the Genesis of Shem, the Israelites, is dark-skinned people. And they will huff and puff on you and make you apologize for being what the Almighty has made you. You see what they do? And you got no answer. Like one of the players say, I know who I am. Well, who are you? But in the same token, who are the ones that talking to you? Who are the ones that telling you that you anti-yourself? It's written. We got the records. Look up the records yourself, and you better pull up for yourself. You got it? Good. All right, that's enough. That's enough right there. For, remember, this could be a long series. And we're going to bring out everything, and if you continue to get duped, because you want to get duped, if you continue on being distracted about the word, and always distractions come from within, you want to be distracted, not be prepared, that's on you. But the seer's responsibility is to get you the word and give you the sources to go how to go look for this information and pull up on your computer for yourself. And read it. Then you'll see more to add on when you on the clock. You got it? Good. All right, that's enough said for right there. You got enough information right now on tape 9 to do the research. We gave information from other of the camps that sent me on the machine what I need to do. We got 6 locations, and everybody that's one that's about this business is on this business. So we got that information. Then I take my old notes, and I just tie it in. Yeah, I got that information. Good. That's what I like about the 6 anointed camps. They understand the one that bought this business, step up to the plate, and get this business on the table so we can take care of it and free our people's in the mind where our offspring won't fall in the same predicament that we in today. Got it? Good. All right, we're going back and see who else coming on stage. We see Mother D.F. Israel. She on a finally made to the stage, so we'll bring her in. Mother D.F. Israel, travel Yahweh Judah. Yahweh be there, see you right.
Yahweh bless you, see you, Israel of Sea Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Mother D.F. Israel. Well, we have laid out some good stuff there, Mother D.F. Israel. And we had a good 30-minute head start before you came in the room. So a lot of information that was laid out there. Very valuable information, spirit led through Yahweh. All right, so now the mother is in, and the young lion ready to go. The elder on the standby. So let's see if we get something going on now. Let's see if we open up with Brother Micaiah. We done got us a nice little foundation of land. So now, Brother Micaiah, I want to open up in the book called Thomas, verse 3. I need to have Thomas, verse 3 on the table. You know, so we don't lay it out the way the Almighty wants to lay it out for us. Do some researching now. We gave you the book. That's Talmud. We know that book is wicked as H. But it also have the history that they know about you. They just play dumb with you. But they got it written in the Talmud, chapter 24. They know that the Semitic people are dark-skinned people. And they also say, we honored them, the Ashkenazi Jewish people said, in a letter that the rabbis put together, we know the world rests on you. Would you come teach us? And then we get happy and we go teach them, and then they take your place. See, now they you, and you ain't nothing. See? But he was told you up front in the book of Judges what not to do, but you done it anyway. So the Bible always tell you what not to do, but you do it anyway. And that's why the young man said he sold his soul to the devil. That means all the beans you had, Yahweh tell you what not to do, you do it anyway. And I keep telling the children of Israel, I'm not intervening until you're in order. If you're not in order, you don't want to follow anointed leadership and understand this is the way back, I'm not intervening. I'm just going to expose the ones. And matter of fact, give me a verse, Mother E. Give me a verse real quick. I don't know what I'm on, but he said, listen, give me Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 there, Mother E. Mother E, how about give Osea a verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Can you help Osea out, Mother E? You're on the clock. Come on.
Book of Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 4, verse 12.
Yes, ma'am.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, read. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of the Yahweh is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the mind.
Hear that, Mother? See, the Bible, Mother, will bring out whatever tarnish you have on you, whatever your mind is rambling, the Bible will bring it out. You just got to, when you hear it, you got to take notes. But leaving you an example, the Bible will bring out anything that's on your mind, that's hidden in your mind. He got a way to bring it out. Now, Mother Eve and the Mother D of Israel, in the book of Hebrews, can you help those see out in 6:18 of Hebrews? Listen, you canonic camp. You're going to have to watch everything you say and you do from the pages of the book. And when the Almighty reveals something to you from the pages of the book, it's up to you to make a judgment according to the book. It might be your closest loved one. But if the Bible puts the thing on him, accept what the Bible says, you know? See, in Hebrews 6:18, can you help me out there, Mother D. F. Israel? What he says in Hebrews 6:18?
Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for Yahweh to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold for the hope set before us.
Mm-hmm. So, and Mother E, in Titus 1, verse 2, can you help me out, Mother? And Brother Titus, hold what you got, hold what you got. I want to go to the book of Jubilees. And I will look at the 63rd chapter, verse 19 down to verse 26 there. Young lion, had that Jubilee 63, 19 to 26, had that to be patting that to the side. You know, because see, you can have whatever on your mind, the Almighty will direct you on what he wants to put on whatever he wants to do. You got to follow the spirit of Yahweh. Now, Mother E, you read me some Titus 1, verse 2. And what it says, you can read, Mother. Yeah,
book
Titus
of Titus
1, verse 2.
The book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which Yahweh, that cannot lie, promise before the world begins.
Right. So Yahweh is not lying about nothing. He laid it out before you and telling you exactly, if you do this, Mother G of Israel, 7:21-22 of 2nd Ezra. If you do these things, Mother G of Israel, what can we read in 2nd Ezra 7, verse 21 and 22? Tell me out there, Mother G of Israel.
2nd Ezra, chapter 7. 21 and 22.
Verse 21 and, yeah,
what did
that say?
2nd Ezra chapter 7, verse 21 and 22 read. Verse 21. For Yahweh has given straight Torah instruction to such as came what they should do to live, even as they came, and what they should observe to avoid punishment. 22.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, they were not obedient unto him, but spake against him and imagined vain things.
And what we're trying to tell you, the world time is going to run out. Everybody's time will run out. So what you're holding there, young lion, hold that point, young lion. I got to go another direction. See, I got to go another direction, but I'm going to come back to whatever you got. So make a note on what you got. This is a teaching ministry. And when you stand back off of it, you'll be able to see everything unfold. Young lion, Bob McKay, can you give me a second book of Enoch? I want a 62nd chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3. So what we try to do is avoid you punishment. We trying to avoid you punishment by showing you what the Bible's saying. See, you ain't got to go through all this if you believe the Bible. See, the children of Israel, the Israelites, they were told how to avoid punishment. But they chose not to do it. And we found out in the early part of the lesson that the biggest slave trade was the Jews, the Jewish people's community. We found out their own book, and when we found out their own book, I tell you, the biggest slave trade ship market was the Jews, the Jewish community, the Ashkenazi. See, you need to know more information about the Ashkenazi. See, once you get the information, it's up for you to apply it, then you won't be reacting to everything. You'll be proactive, not always reactive. The biggest slave trade market was Great Britain sending their brothers, the Jews, the Jewish. And you heard it in the beginning of the tape. That was up on a Great Britain, another headquarters of the Jews, the Jewish people. Great Britain, see, right? So what we're trying to do is get you prepared to understand that you ain't got to be in this condition. All you got to do is come back to the Bible when the sixth anointed camp reveal whatever hidden and make it so plain that he had them to to direct you one way, the Jewish community. But they got six books that they put all the records of all they evil doing in the records for their own people to read. They know you wasn't going to read it. But they you can read where they say that, you know, go in for be slaves and all that, and you put the book down. But you got some people that go and read a little bit more. And like I keep telling you about these books, you only get what you need out of it, like when you go to the store. You don't buy alligator tongues. You might see an alligator banana. You might see a hog banana. Tell me you stop going to the store. You say, well, I don't want no alligator, and I don't want no hog. But this is what I came for, is over the other section. I'm going to get that. This is what you do about these books. It's something in that book, and they got it written. You go right on they live Bible computer line where they got six books. And in their six books, they'll tell you, we know that we are Esau descendants. We know we the red man, the pale man, but we got to keep that children of Israel, the Israelites, thinking that they what they are today, African-American, Negro, and color. Then we're going to bluff them real good, and then we're going to bewitch them real good, and look what's going to happen to you today. So everything been, we're going to reveal, uncover everything. All you got to do, fixing on the camera, take notes. You know, you got your black books. Is you talking among each other? Or you sitting there just, what are you doing? As we reveal this thing to you. Now, got to get it right. Let's give me 2nd Ezra, young man. 2nd Enoch, I mean. Give me 2nd Enoch. I want chapter 62, verse 1, 2, and 3. Because listen, your time is going to run out. Listen to what Enoch wrote, 7 from Adam, in 2nd Enoch 62, 1, 2, and 3. What did he write that we can read there, young lion? Come on.
2nd Enoch chapter 62, verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1 reads, blessed is the man who, in his patience, brings his gifts with faith before Yahweh's face, because he will find forgiveness of sin. Verse 2. But if he takes back his word before the time, there is no repentance for him. But if the time passes and he does not of his own will perform what is promised, there is no repentance after death. Verse 3. Because every work which man does before the time, outside the time he has promised it, is all deceit before men and sin before Yahweh.
So he's saying, look, you got to get this right before you set it down. So if your loved one did not get it right before they set it down, it's no repentance after death. See, this is where you're going to lose. If your loved one did not keep the Sabbath day, didn't wear no fringes, didn't keep no Sabbath day, then does say it's Yahweh. When Yahweh wake him up, he's going to bottom him in the fire. See? You have to be able to teach and get out of your feelings and teach the Bible. There's no repentance after death. Huh? No repentance after death. Now go to 2nd Ezra, chapter 7, verse 56. Read for yourself. 2nd Ezra, chapter 7, verse 56. What did it say there, young lion?
Going over to the book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 7. We're going to read verse 56. The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 7, verse 56 reads, for while he lived and committed sin, we consider not that we should begin to suffer for it after death.
You're going to suffer after death. And when you let these old wicked preachers tell you what they all in the colored arms of Jesus. No, Cedra, that ain't what's going on. You got two great big mental spirits. One's going to take you, we're going to tell you one place, and another's going to take you somewhere else. And why? And the one that's going to be taken somewhere else, you will not be comforted. You're going to be elbowed and wrapped down in the neck. Yeah, grandma too. Wrap it down, and it's written. So what we trying to tell you, you got to teach now, Sister Nona Cass. It's time for you to teach. Let the people know who they are, their responsibility, because right now, those other nations, they got six books. That's their book called their Bible. And their books will tell you they know everything. Remember, they got your records. They use what they want out your records, but they hide it from you. They got all your records. They know exactly who you are. It's no accident, and they know who they are. It's no accident. But why are they going to tell you? Why are they going to tell you? See, we're going to tell you. It's up to you. Just look at the sources. Now, give me 2 Ezra chapter 9, verse 7 down to 14. 2 Ezra 9, verse number 7 to 14. Y'all right? Look what it says.
Okay. We're going to 2 Ezra chapter 9, verse 7 down to verse 14. Verse 7, read. And everyone that shall be saved and shall be able to escape by his work and by faith, whereby you have believed. Verse 8, shall be preserved from the dead perils and shall see my salvation in my land and within my borders. For I have sanctified them for me from the beginning. Verse 9, then shall they be in a pitfall case, which now have abused my ways, and they that have cast them away deceitfully or despitefully shall dwell in torment. Verse number 10, for such as in their life have received benefit and have not known me. Verse 11, and they that have lost my law, while they had yet lived freedom, and when as yet place of repentance was open unto them, understood not, but despised it. Verse 11. The same must know it after death by pain. Verse 13. And therefore, be you not curious how the unyahwali shall be punished, and when, but inquire how the righteous shall be saved, whose the world is, and for whom the world is created. Verse 14. Then answered I and said.
So he's saying, don't keep worrying about how the ones that's, he's worried about the ones that now you got the eyeballs on. Concentrate on the ones. So, when we read 2 Ezra 14:34 there, young man, and yes, so see out in 2 Ezra 14:34, see some things we got to do. We got to do because we've been chosen to do something. And 2 Ezra 14:34, but some things we must do that we can read in 14:34. And what is that? 2 Ezra 14:34. What we got to do there, young man?
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 14, verse number 34, reads, therefore, if so be that you will subdue your own understanding and reform your mind, you shall be kept alive, and after death you shall obtain mercy.
That you got to put your feelings and down and look at the bigger picture that you've been chosen to do this business, and you cannot be where you build a structure and thing. It's so much information that Yahweh want out, but you always have a rabble rouser close by. But you have to recognize rabble rousers, and you have to be able to deal with it according to the scripture. But when you put the bank on a rabble rouser, that's to your advantage. Keep that in your mind, because there's so much information we got to bring out because Mother E. The reason why we got to bring it out, Mother E, because it's written in the 14th chapter, verse 9 of Numbers. But something we got to do, Mother E, in the 14th chapter, verse 9, we got to do something along the way of doing something. And Mother D of Israel have me Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 1 down to 6, waiting on me out of the regular book. Hey, Mother E, what can we read on whatever I just said in 14, verse 9 of Numbers? Can you help me out, Mother E? You're on the clock. Come on.
The book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 9, read. Verse 9. Only rebel not you against the Yahuwah. Neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Yahuwah is with us. Fear them not.
You see, he said, fear them not. Now, Mother, give me a precept on that, Mother. Mother, give me Torah 33. Can you help those see out in verse 2 down to 4? Oseas need a precept on that, Mother. Oseas can stand a precept on that by going to Torah 33, 2 down to verse 4. What did it say there, Mother? Torah 33, 2 down to verse 4. Come on.
Okay. Torah chapter 33, verse 4.
2, 3, and 4.
3 and
4. 3 and 4.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. 33, 2, 3, and 4. What does it say?
Okay. Torah chapter 33, verse 2, 3, and 4. Verse 2. A wise man has not hated not the law, but he that is an hypocrite, therein is an chip in a stone, as therein is as a chip in a stone. Verse 3. A man of understanding trusts in the your instruction, and the law is faithful unto him as an article. Verse 4. Prepare what to say, and so thus shall be heard, and bind up instruction, and then make answers.
I hear you say, Mother. See, a wise man will prepare what he says. Wise woman will prepare what they say. They just don't shoot off at the mouth, and that's what the elder be saying every broadcast. Don't be so quick to run the mouth. See, when you're wise, you prepare what to say. And then when you do talk, Mother, in 1 Peter chapter 4, can you help those see out in verse 10 and 11? See, you got to watch these things, Mother, because one thing about it, the floodgates is going to bust wide open. We got to make sure we inside them black books, and them black books, you are your brother and sister's people. You got to be clear that a wise man or woman, before they run them out, they will prepare what they say. They don't say nothing unless they're already prepared. And when they do talk from 1 Peter 4, 10, and 11. Now, Mother, and when they do talk, when you hear anybody out of your 12 that's in your black book, when they do talk, Mother, you got to get in that book and be looking at something and see if they're talking in order or they out of order. What is it saying 4 verse 12? I mean, 4 verse 10 and 11. What is it saying?
Verse 10.
Yeah, what is it?
Verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10 and verse verse 11. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same, one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of Yahweh. Verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of Yahweh. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which Yahweh gives, that Yahweh in all things may be glorified, honored, through Yahweh the Son, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are you saying, Mother? Is we hearing that if you, it's about your nation and your peoples, how would you speak according to that verse? If you got something to say, Mother, how would you have something to say according to that verse? Help those see out in this national audience over 700,000 plus on the international side. When you speaking, how are you supposed to speak according to that verse, that Mother? According to 11, how are you supposed to speak? Come on.
Speak as the articles of Yahweh, as the word. Speak as the word of Yahweh. It's the article.
You speak word. That means you line up with Yahweh. You speak according to the words. What Yahweh got said, what he said, that is the end of it. See now, you want the Almighty to intervene? You got to remember that. Speaking, we ain't going no way out of these 6 anointed camps. If any one of you 6 members in your buildings, you're not in the word of Yahweh, you're not going nowhere until you put all that on the back burner and look at the clear picture. When I speak, I must speak by the word of the Almighty, old letter man, I-H-W-A. And I do so. I'm in business. Then Yahweh have no choice to step forward and advance this ministry. Got it? Good. Mother dear of Israel, what can we read out of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 1 through 6? Now, Mother dear of Israel, now we've been doing a whole lot of great big tall talking that we can read. Now, I won't know what do Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 1 through 6 say. Your time, you on the clock, and bring it. Come on.
Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Verse 1. Keep your foot when you goest to the temple of Yahweh, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of food, for they consider not that they do evil. Verse 2. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not thine mind be haste to utter anything before Yahweh. For Yahweh is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Verse 3. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. 4. When you vow a vow unto Yahweh, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasures in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. 5. Better is it that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Verse 6. Suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin, neither say you before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should Yahweh be angry at your voice and destroy the works of thine hand?
Here, case in point, there, mother is a man that had a whole lot of zeal. And in Acts 23, verse 1, 2, 4 down to verse 5, this man right here, you know, you're going to find out who this man is. But this man had a whole lot of zeal. Matter of fact, he was raised from the womb to talk. Let's see what happened in Acts 23, verse 1, 4, and 5. Let's see what's going on. And one thing about it, we got to watch this book real carefully. And once you know that the scripture points out what's going to be done, you got to look at this Bible and say, well, that's what the scripture said got to be done, and that's just what got to be done. See, this is when Yahweh is going to intervene. When you make a call in according to the scripture. Now, we're going to get a case in point. Watch this right here that we're going to read, and let's see what we get out of this. We're going to Acts 23, 1, 2, 4, and 5. Watch what it say.
Acts 23, verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. Verse 1. And Paul earnestly, beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before Yahweh until this day. Verse 2. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Verse 4. And they that stood by said, revile thou, Yahweh, high priest. Verse 5. Then said Paul, I wrestle not, brother, that he has the, wait a minute, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of your people.
Now, how did that come to Paul's attention there, mother? What happened for Paul to remember on what not to do? What had to happen to Paul for him to remember what he often I do, put bass in his voice and have a statement because something they don't understand, he didn't understand. So what got Paul's attention that we can read that's in the writing that remind him what not to do? See, I got to follow my tongue. I can't let my feelings get in the way. What remind Paul to remember, according to what we can read? What verse would you read that made Paul remember that he need to hold his tongue around anointed leadership? What verse can we read? I hear you, Mother Z. Hello, old Mother Z. Old Mother Z said she just is pulling away. We hear you, Mother Z. Well, we'll see what Mother D.F. Israel reads.
Well, it says right here in Acts 23:5, for it is written.
My question is, although Mother Z already answered it in grand style, what got Paul's attention to remember what's written in verse number 5? What can we read that got, what got Paul's attention when he got into his feelings while anointed leadership was taking care of some business? What got Paul's attention that we can read? What verse would you pull it out? If you got any problem with Moses, look here. I'm ready to jump in any given minute here. So now what you want to give us that we can read? Mother D.F. Israel?
Well,
hold on. Hold your tongue, let Mother Eve jump up. And that Mother Eve could jump up and tell you what verse stood out that got Paul's attention. What you got there, Mother Eve? What verse that got Paul's attention?
This is verse 2.
Read it. Thank you, Mother Z. That gave Mother Eve the elbow. Read verse 2. Go and read verse 2 out. Let's see what verse got Paul's attention. Verse 2. Go ahead and read that, Mother Eve.
And the high priest Ananias commanded them and stood by him to smite him on the mouth.
So that one got his attention. He still remember what was written in verse 5. He didn't remember verse 5 until what happened again, Mother? Hey, Mother E. What happened in verse 2 that made him remember verse 5?
Ananias commanded him that stood by him to smite him on the mouth.
Oh, that is a thing. So somebody looked right in that in the black book and see where the point that according to what we hearing now, somebody's supposed to do the Bible and get up and do what, Mother?
Smite him on the mouth.
According to verse 2. That's all. According to verse 2.
That's it. Smite them on the mouth.
You see that? You see what the Bible's saying? So that's what got Paul's remembering. Now Paul's remembrance came back in. Then he said, after he got smacked in the mouth by anointed leadership, then he remembered verse 5. Now, Mother DF is not bring your verse 5, and then Paul remember verse 5. What does it say in verse 5, Mother D.F. Israel?
Acts chapter 23, verse 5. Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of your people.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mother D.F. Israel. Now, what, again, brought that to Paul's attention? What had to happen for Paul to remember verse 5? Again, you're on the clock.
I don't see that verse 2. It says written somewhere.
Okay.
So right. You know it's written there.
Okay. Hold on. Hold your tongue. Brother E, read verse 2 again, and Brother Makai, help me, Exodus 22, verse 28, waiting on it. So hold your tongue.
Hallelujah.
Remember, over 700,000 people listening. Hold your tongue. Hey, Mother E, read that verse again, verse 2, one more time.
Okay, Acts chapter 23, verse 2. Verse 2. And the high priest, Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth.
Mm-hmm. Then he remembered what was written in Exodus 22:28. Now we're going to see what that smite to the mouth got his attention. So now we're going to the 22nd chapter and look at the Torah instruction there. Young line. And let's see what's written in the book. That in 22, verse 28. What it say that we can read? So he remembered this after it was someone to smite Paul on the mouth. Then he remembered what the scripture says in 22, verse 28. What it say?
In the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verse 28. Verse 28 reads, you shall not revile the Yahweh, nor curse the ruler of your people.
Oh, so then he remembers, scripture came to him, you know, after he seen, you know, Thor seeing stars around his head, then scripture came back to him. Oh, that's what happened. So now he said, now, thou shalt not reviled the Yahweh. Now who was this he talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Let's find out what he's talking about that we can read and let Yahweh tell it in Brother Micaiah. We go on to the 10th chapter, look at verse 34, 35. Who is he talking about? Thou shalt not revile the Yahweh, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Now we go on and see if we precept this to get some understanding by going to 10:34 and 35 of St. John. What does it say?
Okay. Going over to the book of St. John, chapter 10, and we want to pick it up at verse 34 and verse 35. The book of St. John, chapter 10, verse 34, reads, if he called them Yahweh, unto whom the word of Yahweh came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Verse 34. Yahweh the Son answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are Yahweh? Verse 35. If he called them Yahweh, unto whom the word of Yahweh came, and the scripture cannot be broken.
And the scripture cannot be broken. He said it's written. So again, see, Yahweh the Son reminded them that it's written that I say you are Yahweh. He said the scripture cannot be broken. So in this same, the Bible have a double meaning. He's talking about anointed leadership. You got to hold your tongue when anointed leadership tell you something. Hold your tongue. And all these scriptures are come back to remembrance. And it says written, I thank you, Yahweh. Well, where is written at? We're going to see where it's written at in Psalm 82, verse number 6. Let's see where it's written at. He says written. So he reminded them always to go look into the left side of the Bible on whatever you want to know. Look on the, don't try to lean on your own understanding. Look on the left side of the Bible and see what's written, then apply what's written. He said, I said to you, Yahweh, and you, whatever he said, and the way he said that, he said 1,000 years in advance. David, 82 verse 6, what he say? What he say we can read in 82 verse 6 down? You know what I'm saying?
Well, to the book of Psalms, chapter 82 verse 6. Verse 6 reads, I have said, you are Yahweh, and all of you are the children of the Most High Yahweh.
You see that? And all of you are the children of the Most High Yahweh. He said, I told you already. So I already told you already. Why do you know these things? That's what he's saying. So when we go to 2 Ezra chapter 49, young lion, 49 and 56 to 59. So when we go to second Ezra 7, pick it up verse 49, and let's just read. We'll read down a little bit. Let's read a little bit. We're going to second Ezra. See, when the Almighty send a message to tell you something, don't have a comeback when they come and tell you something and walk with it. No comebacks. So here it is right here in 2 Ezra chapter 7, verse 49. Let's see what we can read. 49, we'll read straight on down to around about 56. And if we need a little bit more, we'll get after we hear what we got here. 2 Ezra 7, pick up at verse 49. This is what he told Osir in 2 Ezra 7, verse 49. We'll read a little bit. Come on.
Okay, 2 Ezra, chapter 7. We'll pick it up at chapter 7, verse 49 down to 56. Verse 49 reads, for what profit is it unto us, if there be promised us an immortal time, whereas we have done the work that bring death? Verse 50, and that there is promised us an everlasting hope, whereas ourselves, being most wicked, are made vain. Verse 51. and that there are laid up for us dwellings of health and safety, whereas we have lived wicked. Verse 52. And that the honor of the Most High Yahuwah is kept to defend them which have led a weary life, whereas we have walked in the Most High, where we have walked in the most wicked ways of all. Verse 53. And that there should be showed a paradise whose fruit endures forever, wherein is security and medicine, since we shall not enter into it. Verse 54. For we have walked in unpleasant places. Verse 55. And that the faces of them which have used abstinence shall shine above the stars, whereas our faces shall be blacker than darkness. Verse 56. For while we lived and committed sin, we consider not that we should begin to suffer for it after death.
57.
57. Then answered he me and said, this is the condition of the battle, which man that is born upon the earth shall fight.
You see that? So the condition of the battle is when you look at this Bible and understand what the Bible is saying. It ain't going to change. It ain't going to change. What the Bible is saying is going to stand. Either you align with the Bible or you lose. That's all it's saying. Either you align with the Bible or you're going to lose. Now give me Jasper, young man.
Yes, sir.
I want to speak the third 19:9-26. Now
okay.
Give me what I need in 63:19-26. Now I want to take a look at that.
After 63:19-26. The book of Jasher, chapter 63:19 reads, and the children of Esau sent a letter to the children of Kedah and to Zepho, their king, saying, we cannot fight against Angeas and his people, for a covenant of peace have been between us these many years, from the days of Bela, the first king, and from the days of Joseph, the king of Israel, the days of Joseph, the son of Israel, king of Egypt, with whom we fought on the other side of Jordan when he buried his father. Verse 20. And when Zepho heard the words of his brethren, the children of Esau, he refrained from them. And Zepho was greatly afraid of Angeas. Verse 21. And Angeas and Lucas, his brother, arrayed all their forces, about 800,000 men, against the children of Kedah. Verse 22. And all the children of Kedah said unto Zepho, pray for us to the Yahuwah of your father. Peradventure he may deliver us from the hand of Angeas and his army. For we have heard that he is a great Yahuwah, and that he delivers all who trust in him. Verse 23. And Zepho heard their words. And Zepho sought Yahuwah, and he said, 24, O Yahuwah, Yahuwah of Abraham and Isaac my father, this day I know that you are a true Yahuwah, and all the Yahuwahs of the nations are vain and useless. Verse 25, remember now this day unto me your covenant with Abraham our father, which our fathers related unto us, and do graciously with me this day for the sake of Abraham and Isaac our father, and save me and the children of Kedah from the hand of the king of Ham, who comes against us for battle. Verse 26. And Yahuwah hearkened to the voice of Zepho, and he had regard for him on account of Abraham and Isaac. And Yahweh delivered Zepho and the children of Kedah from the hand of Angus and his people.
So, what we just found out that Zepho had infiltrated into the camp of Kittim, Zepho. Now, what I need to know there, young man, since we got Zepho infiltrated into the camp of Kittim, I want to know a little bit more about this. This is why you got to be able to go in and get what you need out of it. Can you help those see out in the 60th chapter and pick up at verse 1 down to verse 5? We're going to Jasher chapter. Now, put these names down, six anointed camps. You got Zepho, and who is Zepho if they ask you today? In the six anointed camp, who is this Zepho? What would you say? Or would you go into, the Fred Flintstone Yabba Dabba Doo? Huh? What would you do? When they ask you, who is this Zepho? Or would you go into Ralph Crandom? Hama, 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 hama. What would you do? See, this is the part we try. We got too much on the table. We got down pat. Now, if these questions come to you, 6 and 9 camp, what are you going to say? Is you going to go take care of business?
Hallelujah.
The wise seer in front to take care of business, it's up to you to reframe your brain from stuff that's out of the Torah instruction and get into this for Yahweh to bless us and move us forward. But we got to know what's going on here. We got Kittim. And we got Zepho. Now, we need to know clearly if we in a setting and hear these names mentioned, we put on our teaching hat from that point. We're going to Jasher 60, 1 down to... What did it say that young lion?
We're going over to the book of Jasher, chapter 60, and we're going to read verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and verse 5. The book of Jasher, chapter 60, verse 1 reads, "And when the year came around, being the 72nd year from the Israelites going down to Egypt, after the death of Joseph, Zepho, the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esau, fled from Egypt, he and his men, and they went away."
Wait a minute, hold on that young line. That's big talking now. You said when who went where? You mean it's a name here? There's a big name in here? Listen, it is a big name in here about Zepho that is not connected to a name here. Second verse. Start the verse again. Listen real good. Because it's a major information is in here. Zepho. Verse 1 again.
The book of Jasher, chapter 60, verse number 1 reads, "And when the year came round, being the 72nd year from the Israelites going down to Egypt, after the death of Joseph, Zepho, the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esau, fled from Egypt, he and his men, and they went away."
Now, look what we got here. Look what we got in verse 1. We got Joseph the Israelite. We got Zepho, the descendants of Esau. Huh? So we got Zepho, which is the sons of Esau, and we got the Israelites with the sons of Joseph. So the sons of Joseph is the Israelites. The sons of Zepho is Esau now. See that? So Zepho is Esau now. Y'all got it. Good. A little bit more what's going on here. So Zeppo is a descendant of Esau.
Right.
Israelites is Joseph is a descendant of the Israelites. So you see, y'all got it. Good. What happened in verse 2? Verse 2.
The book is the book of Jasher, chapter 60, verse 2 reads, "And he came to Ham, which is Dinhaba, to Angus, king of Africa, king of Ham. And Angus received them with great honor. And he made Zepho the captain of his host." Verse 3. "And Zepho found favor in the sight of Angus, and in the sight of his people, and Zepho was captain of the host of Angus, king of Ham, for many days." Verse 4. "And Zepho enticed Angus, king of Ham, to collect all his army to go and fight with the Egyptians and with the sons of Israel, and to revenge of them the cause of his brother." Verse 5. "But Angus would not listen to Zepho to do this thing, for Angus knew the strength of the sons of Israel and what they had done to his army in their warfare brought with the children of Esau."
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Soon Zepho got into power.
Mm-hmm.
He got into power messing around with the Africans, the crew, which is called Ham. And when he got to be the big military man, what came into Zepho's mind that he wanted to do, that we can read? Now, Zepho is a descendant of Esau. Now, some came in his mind that he wanted to do. And I want to read what came in his mind once he got in power. Something he wanted to do. And what verse can we read when he got in power is something that Zepho, the descendant of Esau, wanted to do once he got in power? Let's see what verse we can read that out again, that young man. It's something he wanted to do. He got himself to be the captain of the host. Well, hold on, young man. Let those seer get his dramatic out the way. So now something Zepho wanted to do. After he got into power, he make his way into the cities of Ham and became the big military man. Now, after he got over the military, then something came to his mind that he wanted to do. And what was that again? What verse can we read that at? Now, come on, young lion. Help those see out now.
Okay, the book of Jasher, chapter 60, verse number 4. Verse number 4 reads, "And Zepho enticed Angus, king of Africa, to collect all his army to go and fight with the Egyptians and with the sons of Israel and to avenge of them the cause of his brethren."
So you see what happened? Once he got in power, he remembered his records. See, we don't remember no records. But as soon as he got in power, he remembered the records. And he remembered a record that... Let's see what Mother E. Let's see what record did he remember, because he want to take vengeance on the children of the Israelites. That was Zepho, the descendant of Esau. He want to take vengeance on them. What is this that he remember? What that the record of Zepho knew? Now once he got in power, all on his mind is go whoop him some Israelites. What did he pull up out of his records that he knew? See, we don't talk about our records, but they know their records. Huh? Let's see. Hey, Mother, we're going to 27th chapter of Genesis, Mother. And in 27th chapter of Genesis, Genesis. Can you pick up verse 38 for me, Mother, down to 41? Hey, Mother E, what can we read in Genesis? We're going Genesis 27, 38 to 41. Help those see out there. We got to lay a little foundation. We is the only people that have a remembrance problem. Huh? We don't, you know why? Because we all been trained by somebody else. But have you noticed that Zepho says, I'm the captain of the host. I remember, and I want to whoop me some Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
What we can read in the 27th chapter, verse 38 to 41, Mother, eat your
Book of Genesis. Book of Genesis, chapter 38. Book of Genesis, chapter 27. Verse 38 to 41. Book of Genesis, chapter 37. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy Yahweh, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Have thou but one blessed, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Verse 39. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, Behold, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. Verse 40. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his mind, The day of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob.
He says, when our father is no longer alive,
mm-hmm.
what I'm gonna slay my brother Jacob. So you see? And this Zepho, our mother, who is Zepho at the Senate of, mother?
The Senate of Esau. Zepho
is the
Senate of Esau.
That's right, mother. That's exactly right. So he's Senate of Esau. And he says that, and Esau says, you know, Esau passed it on to his sons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jacob, so now he passed that on. He said, as soon as I get opportunity, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. Now, mm-hmm. say, now we're going to the book, Mother E. We're going to the book of Ezekiel. And let's see, as time went on, the record of he got, we're going to Ezekiel 35. We're going to take a look at a few things in Ezekiel 35, Mother. We're going to 35, number one. Let's see what it says in Ezekiel 35, verse number one. We're going to see what we can read there, Mother. Ezekiel 35, verse number one. Mm-hmm.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 35, verse one. Moreover, word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse 2, Son of man.
So good. So hold on there, mother. All I want one right there, because I want to get in there with some dramatics. So once the word of Yahweh come to you saying, Brother D. of Israel, what do that mean in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37? Hey, mother, D. of Israel, what do that mean? The word of Yahweh came to me saying, what do that mean when you precept your Bible in Matthew chapter 12, 36, 37? Mother, D. of Israel, what do that mean?
Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. 37. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned.
Well, that's big talk. So he said, and give me 12:46 there, Mother D. of Israel, St. John, 46 down to verse 49. Give me St. John chapter 12, verse, make it 47 to 49. St. John 12, 47 to 49, Mother D. of Israel, what does it say?
St. John chapter 12, verse 47 to 49. Verse 47 reads, And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Verse 48. He that reject me and receive not my words has one that judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father, which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak.
Mm-hmm. So you see how up front he is? You see, look here. I'm looking at this Bible. I got to apply this Bible. Give me a precept in 7:16 there, Mother St. John. So you see, listen, remember, Yahweh told you exactly what he means about you going to go through it, but make a call and according to this Bible, it will be, that's the way it is. In 7:16 of St. John, Mother D. of Israel, help me out there. What do you say?
St. John, chapter 7, verse 16. And give my page. Okay. St. John, chapter 7, verse 16 reads, Yahweh the Son answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me.
So you see? And 6 months, you got to say one thing. Boy, what you hear now is not ours. It's Yahweh putting his spirit in us to put it out on the table. So understand something. This what we bring to the table. This is the Son's business that got from the Father. And we passing it down. So all we doing is reading the Bible and commenting on what we're reading. Now in Ezekiel 35 there, Mother. Now let's read verse 2. 35 verse 2. What it say there, Mother? 35 verse 2. Now, with all this up on our belt, looking at 35 verse 2 saying what?
Ezekiel chapter 35, verse 2. From a man set thy face against my fear, Esau, and prophesy against it.
Mm-hmm. and prophesied against it, or against Mount Seir, you said Esau, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Can we look at all them big stations, look at the WCC, Latter-day Saints, Roman Catholic Church, look at all them said. It ain't no Esau in that.
No way. Yeah. What did he say?
Now I gotta go back in the book and pull some out. Brother Micaiah, they say no Esau in that Mount Seir. So now I gotta reach in the book of Genesis, 36:1-8, and see what we're working with there. Brother Micaiah, hold what you got there, Brother Micaiah. Let me clean up a couple things and get back on it. 36:1-8. They say it ain't no Esau there. Not in no Mount Seir. Let's see what it says that we can read in 36:1-8. What it say there, Brother Micaiah? Come on.
Okay. We're going over to the book of Genesis, 36:1-8. The book of Genesis, 36:1 reads, "Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom." Verse 8. "Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir." Esau is Edom.
Esau is Edom. Okay, Esau is Edom, but I need a little bit more there, young man. We're going to see if we get up a little bit more. Esau is Edom. Read verse 8 again.
Okay. The book of Genesis, 36:8 reads, "Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom."
Verse 9.
"And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir."
So now we see we can structure-wise back up that Mount Seir is changeable with Esau and his five sons. Mm-hmm. So that's what he says now, Mother. Now we done brought it out now, Mother. So let's see what he says to Esau with Mount Seir and Esau interchangeable. Let's see what Yahuwah says to Ezekiel the seer pertaining to Esau, which is Mount Seir. What he says in verse 3 there, Mother. 35:3. What he say there, Mother E?
Ezekiel chapter 35:3. "And say unto it, thus says the Yahuwah, behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate."
Hold that point. He ain't talking about a land, he's talking about a people. The people
right.
Says, "I'm against you, peoples of Egypt and his five sons." He said, "I'm going to get you, and I'm going to make you most desolate. I'm going to get you." Is that what we read so far?
Yes.
Is that what we read so far?
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And what he said, hey, Mother, what he said in verse 4?
Verse 4. "I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am Yahuwah."
Oh, and he's going to lay their cities desolate and waste. And you will know that he is who, Mother? Who he say he is?
Yahuwah. And know
who?
That he is Yahuwah.
Are we Yahuwah?
Okay. And now I need to know, Mother, B.F. Israel, he say he going to do this, but how is he going to do it that we can read?
Hallelujah.
How is it that we can read by precept in our Bible, Mother, D.F. Israel? We go in Ezekiel 25:12 out of verse 14. He says in verse 4, "I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate. And thou shalt know that I am Yahweh. He said, I'm going to get you, and you will know I'm Yahweh. But how is he going to do this, mother, dear of Israel? We're going to see what the seer says, how they're going to do it by precepting your Bible. In Ezekiel 25:12-14, let's see how is he going to get that we can read. Let's see, mother, dear of Israel, come on.
Ezekiel 25:12-14. Verse 12, thus says Yahweh, because that Edom has dwelt against the family of Judah by taking vengeance and has greatly offended and revenged himself upon them. 13. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, I will also stretch out my hand upon Edom, and will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from Teman, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword. 14. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, says Yahweh.
Yahweh said, I'm going to do Esau and his five sons. He said, I'm going to lay my hand on you, but now he just said something, mother, that needs to be brought out real plainly. Is Yahweh going to take care of his business? Did he appoint somebody to take care of his business on getting Esau and his five sons? According to what we can read, can you help us on this worldwide network to be clear how this thing is going to happen? How is it going to happen, mother? Can you break that down, what you just got there? How is whooping going to be put on Esau and his five sons? According to 12 through 14. Matter of fact, according to verse 14.
Mother, according to verse what you say?
According to verse 14, how is it going to happen? How is this whooping going to happen? According to verse 14.
He going to use his people Israel.
Now, look in verse 14 real quickly. Just tell me how it's going to happen. According to verse 14. So this is what you going to bring to this national audience, over 700,000 plus on the international side. Exactly how this is going to happen, according to verse 14. Now, boldly get in the microphone, but we can be clear how this is going to happen, this great whooping on Esau and his five sons. Come on.
Well, it reads 14, and I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance.
So tell me that how Esau and his five sons going down, according to that verse, how is it going to happen when we sit around the grandbabies and tell them exactly how it's going to happen. How it's going to happen, mother? Now, I'm going to paraphrase, how this battle is going to happen, according to verse 14.
Well, I just said, according to Israel, according to Yahweh's anger.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Well, you said, but you didn't bring it out good enough. So it's okay. Father Micaiah, let's run and see if we preach up a little bit more. Run to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 13. Let's see if we preach up a little bit more. On Zechariah chapter 9, verse 13. Because you better everybody tell something. What he got written the week? Zechariah chapter 9, verse 13.
All right. Book of Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 13. Verse number 13 reads, when I have bent Yada Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up the sons of Yada Judah against your sons, O Greece, and made you as the sword of a mighty man.
Sound real good, but you started all through that real good. That he's saying that he wants to raise up a people. What people in that verse that he got to raise up first to take it out on Greece? Because something they have did that. So in that verse 14, that verse you read now online, I just got to hear a little bit more on exactly what's going to happen in 9:13. Did he make it plain on how it's going to happen? Verse 13 again. We in Zechariah 9:13. Make it plain for this national audience, their young.
Okay. The book of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 13. Verse 13 reads, when I have bent Yada Judah for me, filled the bow with the 10 northern tribes, and raise the sons of Yada Judah against your son, O Esau, and his five sons, and made you as the sword of a mighty man.
So, the first thing he got to do is do what in verse 13, that first line? What is the first thing he got to do? Hold on, young lion. Don't still get into the dramatics in here real quick.
Hallelujah.
13. See, we have to know, we have to be able to sit down with our loved ones and show exactly and paint the picture. The first step that got to be done is what, according to verse 13? One line. What got to be done?
When I had bent Yada Judah for me.
Uh-huh. So the first thing he going to do, he got to first do what?
Send Yada Judah for him.
But mother, of course, man, and Zacharias, we got to do. But look what he got written in 13 chapter 18 about Yada Judah. Go to Jeremiah chapter 13, 8, down to verse 10, mother. Let's see what we're reading. Jeremiah chapter 13, 8, 9, and 10. What do you say there, mother?
Chapter 13, 8, 9, and 10. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. Verse 8. Then the word of the Yahweh come unto me, saying, thus said the Yahweh, after this manner will I mire the prize of Yahda Judah and the great prize of Yahda Judah. Oh, okay. Virginia, this evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their mind, and walk after other false Yahweh to serve them, and to worship them shall even be as this girl, which is good for nothing.
So he said, the first thing he got to do, he got to bend. So really he got to bend Judah for himself. So Judah got all this stuff going against the Bible. He ain't in order. He said, the first thing I got to do, I got to bend him from always making decisions with no book in their hand. They don't know the plan that's written in his Bible. I got to first break them from always making a move without scripture supporting it. So I got to break them first. Then when I break them, according to 13, then I'm going to do what? After when I bend Judah for me. Now after Judah get on his feet, what's next? What's next, young lion? What's next?
Okay, we're going back to Zechariah. We're going back to Zechariah. Chapter 9, picking it back up at verse 13. 13 reads, build the boat with the northern kingdom, 10 tribes, and raise up your son.
Wait a minute. Let me put the dramatics in there because I got to do some precept in that, young line. So he knows step one, he got Judah for me, then for himself. Now, once he bid Judah for me, then what's next?
Okay, fill the bowl with the 10 northern tribes.
To fill the bowl with Ephraim. So now I got to deal with Ephraim. Remember, we got 700,000 strong on the international side. They don't know about no northern tribe, but they see the word Ephraim. So we got to precept this word Ephraim, mother, D up Israel. We got to find out what he mean by after I get Judah on his feet, then I got to deal with Ephraim. So now what Ephraim got to do, so we can be looking at the Bible, mother, D up Israel. We're going to 31, verse 5 and 6 of the book of Jeremiah. Let's find out what Ephraim got to do. But we can see that the Bible now is unfolding itself. It's like I got first bend Judah for me. I got to get him out of all this trying to come up another way and get back into the Bible to understand my word. That's step one. Then Ephraim turn is next. Now, what can we read about Ephraim in 31 verse 5 and 6? What do Ephraim got to do before we can see where we at? And we got to wait until we see Ephraim do what, mother? D up Israel. In the 31st chapter, verse 5 and 6, what Ephraim got to do? Come on.
Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5. Thus shall you plant vine upon the mountain of Samaria. The planter shall plant and shall eat them as common things. Verse 6, for there shall be a day that the watchman upon Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise you, and let us go up to Judah, unto Yahweh, our Yahweh.
Oh, so now we see what got to happen. First thing, we got to bend Judah for me. We got to bend Judah from all that not keeping the feast days, not wearing no fringes, don't know the order of the Bible, all over the place. We got to get Judah straightened out first. And once Judah back on his feet straight, then that once Judah is on his feet, then the northern kingdom got to come where Judah is. Judah got to be in order, and they got to cry. Hey, Judah, we see we ain't getting nowhere. We all off into the Catholicism. We all over the place. Help us get right in Yahweh. That's them too. Now, once we got Judah and Ephraim, the head of 10 northern tribes of Israel, on their feet, that's the 1-2 punch. They got to be done first. So we got to figure out how we're going to get it done, according to Scripture. Now, I'm telling that beat, young lion. Now let's get back to Ephraim again, over here, and what will be the assignment that we can read. So now we got Judah woke up. Now bent Judah for me. Ephraim came run to Judah and got their marching order. Then what's going to happen next, according to 9:13 of the book of Zechariah? What's going to happen next?
Book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 13. Verse 13 reads, and raise up the sun, O Yada Judah, against your son.
What's son? What's their name?
Oh, Greek.
So, God Judah. Hold on, young man. Yada Judah and Ephraim got to come together as one. Raise up thy son, O Judah. So now they all in order. Against that son, O Greece. Now, what's that supposed to mean? So once they're on their feet, now it's time to peep at O Greece. Now, who is this O Greece that he got to peep at? Micaiah? Let's find who is O Greece, and why do we got to get them in order first? Then we go and take care of old Greece. Who is this? We're going to Joel chapter. Going to Joel and find out who is this and why. Why? First thing I do is get you on your. That's why I said we ain't got time for no nonsense. We got to get this thing so it can lock in and lock in progress first. Then I'm gonna send you against old Greece. Now, who is this? Going to Joel chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse number 5. We're going to look at 5 down to verse number 7. Let's see what's going on. We're trying to line some up. 5 down to verse 7. Joel 3, 5 down to verse 7.
Okay, we're going to Joel chapter 3, verses 5 down to verse 7. Verse 5 reads, because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. Verse 6, the children also of Yada Judah and the children of Yada Judah have you sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border. Verse 7, behold, I will raise them out of the place where you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head.
So once you get back on your feet, and you know who you are, 10 northern tribes, and I'll bend Judah for me, you know you lead tribe Judah. I'm going to bend Judah for me. Okay, good. Then let's go to the book of Obadiah. Young lion. So fast. Look, gotta make a break. Gotta come in and break and bring back our elders. Gotta bring back Mosey in. Then I pick up on this lesson again tomorrow, you see? Time just go real fast. Does it lying about that? Well, you're right there, WCC. And to go down the road when you're trying to paint the pictures. See, when you paint the picture, it ain't no wiggle room when you paint the pictures. What are we going to now, Obadiah? That's what we're going.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Going to Obadiah along the way in Obadiah. Now, once they in order. Now, once they in order. Northern kingdom know. They got to find Southern kingdom, Israel. It got to be in order. Whatever Judah say, that's the end of it. Now, once that order ends, let's see what Obadiah had to write behind that. We're going to the book of Obadiah. Do I want Zechariah? I think I better stay in Zechariah for a minute. I want some Obadiah. I need to get a little bit more out of Zechariah. I need to know something. When it's all in order, I need to know what's going to happen. Zechariah 14, verse 14. What we can read. 14, verse 14, young lion. Listen to this. Zechariah 14, 14.
Going back to the book of Zechariah, we're going to read verse 14 and number 14. The book of Zechariah, chapter 14, and we want verse number 14. 14 reads, and Yada Judah also shall fight at Yada Judah, and the wealth of all the 17, the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver, and apparel in great abundance.
You see that? So now we read that because they have taken all your silver and gold and sold you all over the place. So now, once you back in order, Judah, all the silver and gold that they got, go and take it back. Once you in order. So you see, you got to get in order for this to happen. All your silver and gold will be taken back. What you saying, WCC? Well, we are mute the elder. The elder don't have no combat. Well, I tell you what, dude, we go to Mother Eden. We'll let Mother Eden get in. The elder, you mute out of the combat. Let's see about Mother Z. Let's see if we bring Mother Z in. And let her address this national audience. So when you meet Mother Z, tribe of Yada Judah, camp number one, run the mother out of camp one. Hey, Mother Z, Yahweh just see right here.
Yahweh bless and keep you, seal Israel, a royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Now, Mother Z, we've been painting a picture pretty good now. We try and paint the picture so we know it ain't even working until we get in order. It's not going to work until we make a calling and get in order and Judah get bent and all the kingdom come back and you know, get right with us. It ain't going to happen. That's why we got to get right ourselves. That's why we got to get right according to the Bible. So whatever you want to address this national audience, whatever you want to tell them, take your time there, Mother Z. You're on the clock. Come on.
I'm going to read in Jeremiah chapter 16. I'm going to start reading that verse probably, I'm going to read in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 1. The words of the Yahweh came also unto me, saying, verse 2, thou shalt not take you a wife, neither shall thus have sons or daughters in this place. Verse 3, for thus said the Yahweh concerning the sons of, and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mother, that bad deed, yeah, and concerning their father that begotten them in this land. Verse 4, thus shall die, they shall die a grievous death. Thus shall not be limited, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dawned upon the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine and their crisis shall be meat for the fowls of for the fires of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. Verse 5. For thus said the Yahweh, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to limit bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from these people, said the Yahweh. If even loving kindness and mercy, verse 6, both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall man's lament for them, neither cut themselves nor make themselves blemishes.
Woe
for them. Verse 7. Neither shall man tear themselves for them in mourning to comfort them from the of the dead. Neither shall man give them the cup of consolation to drink, for their fathers are for their mothers. And I'm at the end right there. It says, Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Now, Mother E, we're going to check that. So come back in that Ezekiel 35.
Okay.
And we want to pick it up at number 5. Tie it out of verse 10 and a closed statement. Let's see what we can read it. Mother Israel, 31 through 8, waiting on me, 31 through 8, and a closing statement. Hey, Mother E, we're looking at Ezekiel 35. I'll pick up verse 5 down to verse 10, a closing statement. Come on.
Okay, Ezekiel chapter 35, verses 5 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 35, verse 5 to 10. Verse 5 reads, because thou hast had a perpetual hatred, and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquities had an end, their sin. Verse 6, therefore, as I live, said the Yahweh, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee. Since thou hast not hated blood, even blood shall pursue thee. Verse 7, thus will I make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut off from it him that passes out, and him that returns. Verse 8, and I will fill his mountains with his slain men in thy hills and in thy valleys. And in all their rivers shall they fall that are slain with the sword. verse 9. I will make thee perpetually, definitely, and they cities shall not return, and ye shall know that I am Yahweh. Verse 10. Because I have said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it. Verse 10. Yahweh was there.
Mm-hmm. And verse 9 says, I will make thee most pestilent. I will make you desolate. Desolation. Perpetual desolation. Mm-hmm. And when I get through with you, perpetual desolation. When I get through with you, Esau, sons. When I get through with you. Because you have said, these two nations and these two countries are mine.
Mm-hmm.
We will possess it. Whereas the Yahweh was there. So, Mother, before you give your closing statement, what two countries Yahweh is there in? What two countries it is? Israel and America. That's the two countries that Yahweh is in. And them took over the land of Israel and Shem's land called the land of America. They got both of them. They claim for themselves. You know how they claim for themselves? They got you paying on land that they stole from your forefathers and mothers, taxes on your land. Not that you're taking the land. They charge the taxes on their own land. You see, now these two lands belong to Yahweh, the children of Israel possessed. Now you don't took over both lands. That's greedy. You don't took over the land of Israel. You got in bondage over there, the fruit over there. And you took over the second part of Yahweh's land called America, the land of Shem. And you got the children of Israel paying taxes on their own land, on their own water. I got to get you for that. It's right there. So you don't talk over two countries that don't belong to you. Mount Seir. That's where you belong at. See that? Esau and his five sons. All right, Mother E. Excellent again. Get you tomorrow at 6 p.m. What you got to say behind that? Come on.
Just thanking and praising Yahweh for being here. And thanking and praising Yahweh for this class. And I just like to say to the listeners to hold on, don't give up. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
That's right. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Listen, artist.
Yahweh.
Listen, pay attention, folks. Especially you six anointed counts of voices of a two is right. It's up to you to teach the Bible. Hey, Mother D.F. Israel, what you got on in that 34th chapter 1 through 8 in the closing statement over there in the book of Isaiah?
Will you repeat the
Mother
chapter?
What you got? What you working with?
Can you repeat the chapter?
Isaiah 34, 1 down to verse 8 in the closing statement. Mother D.F. Israel, come on.
Isaiah 34, verses 1 to 8. Is that what you said?
Isaiah 34, 1 to 8. Isaiah 34, 1 to 8. Come on.
Isaiah chapter 34, verses 1 through 8. Verse 1. Come near, you nations, to hear and hearken, you people. Let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. Verse 2, for the indignation of Yahweh is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. Verse 3, their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their bodies. Verse 4, and all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a straw, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. Verse 5, for my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Esau and upon the people of my curse to judgment. Verse 6, the sword of Yahuwah is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidney of rams. For Yahuwah has a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Esau. Verse 7, and the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bull, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. Verse 8, for it is the day of Yahuwah's vengeance and the year of recompense for the controversy of Judah.
Mm. Now, all that's about what, mother? So all you just got through reading, what is all this about according to verse 8?
Esau and his five sons.
According to verse 8? What is all this about according to verse 8?
Oh, Yahuwah's vengeance.
According to verse 8, what is all this about?
What it's about?
According to verse 8.
Hmm.
According to verse 8. According to verse 8, what is all this about? According to verse 8.
Well, I don't know then. I don't know. Tell me.
Come on, my baby. According to verse 8, you're online. According to verse 8, what is all this about? According to verse 8,
the years of recompense for the controversy of Yahuwah Judah.
Mm-hmm.
So all this is about is telling all this about one thing. Because what did they do there, Yahuwah? What did they do in Jeremiah? All is about God, Judah. Because what is they saying that we can precept about Yah, God, Judah? We're gonna find out. There's a word that is saying in the book of Jeremiah about Yah, God, Judah. It's a word that's said here. It's all is about Yah, God, Judah. But what is they saying about Yahuwah Judah? In the 30th chapter, verse number 17. Read that for Mother D.F. Israel. Let's see what all this is about. 30, verse 17, concerning Yahuwah Judah. That's what verse 8 is all about. What does it say in verse 8?
Okay.
30, verse 17.
We're going over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, verse number 17. Verse 17 reads, for I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wound, says Yahuwah, because they called you an outcast. And this is Yahuwah Judah, whom no man seeketh after.
You see, everything's about Yahuwah Judah. See, So he's gonna whoop all these five sons real good because the controversy of Judah, because Judah is African American Negro in the world of mine. He ain't got no land nowhere. He's an outcast. And that big old land belongs to him. And he gonna sell that for Judah. He gonna whoop everybody for Judah and sell it for Judah. So that was all about that. Whooping you read in 34th chapter, it's all about you, Judah. Waking up to understand you got a homeland where you came from, what you're supposed to be about, and everything else. The controversy of Zion is saying Judah belongs to Esau, his five sons, the two countries belong to them. But all of it belongs to you. He said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to whoop them real good by your hands. By your hands. So how did it happen? We got to raise up and get some knowledge. Now, how's it going to happen, Mother D of Israel? Let's look at Zechariah 4, verse 6 in the closing statement. How's it going to happen? Zechariah 4, verse 6. And that's what it's all about. If we don't know who's supposed to know, what are you going to do? Us. But how's it going to happen? Zechariah 4, verse 6, Mother D of Israel in the closing statement. Come on.
Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of Yahweh unto Jerusalem, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says Yahweh of hosts.
So
what's
going to happen? By his word. That's how it's going to happen. When we get past, got it written in Micah chapter 3, verse 1, why don't you know, Israel, ain't you supposed to know, Justin? We supposed to know this already. We supposed to know. And once we do know, we can pass it on, then Yahweh going to strengthen our hand to take care of business. And right now, the strength is in his word. Come together, one accord, in his word, all 12, rehearse the righteous act out of black books, get it down pat, we move to the next, and Yahweh say they're on the right track. Mother dear of Israel, until tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Your closing statement is on you on the clock. Come on.
Okay. Timothy. 2 Timothy, 1:7. For Yahweh has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, dear Israel, Mother E. Now, young lion. So we see it's going to happen. But now we got to find out what's going on. Let's go back to Jasper 64, verse 25. So what's going on that we need to know? See, remember, when we get to whooping on some heads, we got to know where to start whooping some heads at. See, you got to know. See, if you don't know where to start whooping, you might whoop the wrong person's head. So Jasper 64, verse 25. 64, verse 25.
All right. We're going over to the book of Jasher, chapter 64. We're going to pick it up at verse 25. Book of Jasher, chapter 64, verse 25 reads, and Zepho, the sons of Ephaz, the son of Esau, king of Kedah, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, king of Edom, and all their camp, and all the children of the east, and the children of Ishmael, a people numerous as sand, and camped together in the valley of Pathros, opposite Tet-Punches. Verse 26.
That's all I want to. So, I got 125 there, young man. So we find out that who is Zeppo? What position him got himself into? To be who?
The son of Esau, king of Kedem.
Oh, so he muffed himself up again. Now he's the king of Kedem. Yeah. So he's the king of Kedem. Now go to the 9th chapter, verse 30. Now, once he became the king of Kedem, see, what else he do in 90 verse 30? Now, he's the king. Now, Zeppo, descendants of Esau, have mucked himself up to be the king of Kedem. Then what else did he do in 90 verse 30? What else did he do in 90 verse 30?
Okay, we're going over to the book of Jasher, chapter 90, picking up at verse number 30. Verse 30 reads, he that heard that Esau had revolted from under the hand of Kedem, and Latinus went to them and smote them and subdued them and placed them under the hand of the children of Kedem, and Esau became one kingdom with the children of Kedem all the day.
Ain't that something? Esau came to be the descendants of Kedem. You hear that? That's Kedem. So Esau have got in with them and became them. Oh, so that's what he did. So Esau and his five sons, they no longer call themselves Esau or Zeppo. They call themselves Kedem. They call themselves Hittite people. Here is when they made the switch right here in Jasher 90 verse 10. So this is what they did see right here. Right here, it's written right here, the record, in 90 verse 30. Read again.
The book of Jasher, chapter 90, verse number 30. Verse 30 reads, he then heard that Esau had revolted from under the hand of Kedem, and Latinus went to them and smote them and subdued them and placed them under the hand of the children of Kedem. And Esau became one kingdom with the children of Kedem all the day.
So Esau and his five sons, headed by Zeppo, got sucked up, got into the Japhetic peoples, then all of a sudden seemed a way to whoop them over and push them out of land and take over their name. So now when we read Genesis 10, Genesis chapter 10, verse 2 to 4 in the closing statement, we'll get back on tomorrow. So now what Esau have did, that's why you can't find him no more. He jumped up and pushed Esau and pushed Japhetic people and taken over what?
The book of Genesis, chapter 10, verse 2 and verse 4. The book of Genesis,
2, 3, 4.
Verse 2 reads. 2, 3, 4
to close.
Verse 2 reads, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Medea, and David, and Tubal, and Meshach, and Tyrus, verse 3, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Raphat, and Togarmah, verse 4, and the sons of David, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kedem, and Dodim. All right.
So that's good enough. You got Kedem and the other name, what other name you got? Ashkenazi. So now you want to talk over Kedem, you become Kedem, and you become the Ashkenazi. So you become, that's why you can't figure him out. He becomes Japhetic peoples. And that's why these big camp think that Japhetic peoples is the red and pink man called the white man. You don't know that they into the land and took over them, pushed them out the land, and taking a name. So they become that. But look what Yahuwah said in the closing statement. Because you go by all these names. Ezekiel 39, give me one verse, number 11 in the closing statement. Let's get back on tomorrow. Count them down the way. We'll take care of you tomorrow. 39 of Ezekiel, verse number 11 in the closing statement. Come on.
Okay, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 39, verse number 11 reads, "And it came to pass in the day that I